I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Today on the Illini Enquirer podcast, it is my becoming annual chat with, let me get his long title correct here, Illinois Executive Director of Personnel and Recruiting, Pat Embleton. He is basically the right-hand man for Brett Bielema when it comes to recruiting. And Pat has been in the Illinois football office for a long time now. He came here right after his playing career at the Division III level and he came in here with Tim Beckman. And he stayed here through Bill Cubitt, stayed here through Lovie Smith. And right after Lovie Smith got fired, he kind of helped Brett Bielema through the transition and everything with recruiting. And Brett was so impressed with Pat, his knowledge of the not only University of Illinois, but the state of Illinois. Everything good, bad, indifferent about Illinois football, Pat has been a great resource, and he's really good at his job. And they just got wrapped up mostly with the class of 2023 for Illinois. And I had my chat with Pat Embleton about where Illinois football recruiting is right now, how this class came together. We didn't really dive into the intricacies of each player, per se, and what they bring to the program, because I thought Brett Bielema handled that, hoping to talk with some of the assistants at some other point about all these players, but talked more about Pat, about the grand scheme of things, what they were looking for in this class, how they executed it, what winning has meant for Illinois football recruiting, because besides 2019, when Illinois made the Red Box Bowl and had a little bit of winning, but ended that season on a three-game losing streak, Pat hasn't been part of a winning recruiting pitch, and now Illinois can do that. So I thought he gave great insight there. And I asked a simple question about, take me through an evaluation. Take me through what a recruitment is like with a prospect. And I thought he'd get really good insight about how the staff works. He did a really good job of breaking down how Brett Bielema works. So I hope you really enjoy this podcast with Pat. Basically, just going to do an interview with him here. But I do want to weigh in a few things that have happened since signing day. Number one on that list is Chase Brown entering the draft and opting out of the bowl game. He is the third Illini to announce he is opting out of the bowl game. And all three of these players are among Illinois' best players. His twin brother Sidney opting out, and Devin Witherspoon, who may be a first or second round draft pick come April. And I'm not going to probably change anyone's feelings about players opting out. Some people don't care anymore, and some people really care. And I don't know if any of those feelings are wrong, but I do think people who think these players don't care about their teammates or are being terrible to their teammates, I think that's wrong. Because think about what Devin Witherspoon has given this program. Think about what Sidney and Chase Brown have given this program. And I think both these guys, and Sidney really, really was eloquent about how difficult of a decision this was for him. And he said it's selfish. And yeah, it's a selfish decision. But these guys are at the points of their careers where they can be selfish. And if Illinois was playing in the Big Ten Championship game or the Rose Bowl or a college football playoff, I think these decisions would be a little bit different. But Illinois doesn't – they do gain something by winning this game. They could probably be ranked. They could have a 9-win season, all those things. But these guys can lose a lot. And what are the odds of that, of them getting hurt, career-ending injury or career-altering injury? I don't know, but there is a risk in doing that, right? We've seen players, Jake Butt, you know, the running back from South Carolina a couple years ago, like Matt Corral at Ole Miss. It happens. It happens when you can suffer these injuries, and they can alter your draft status. And for a guy like Devin Witherspoon to be a first or second round pick, or just Chase and Sidney Brown, people might say, well, they're not a first or second round pick. Yeah, but if they get hurt, they could go from a third or fourth round pick to even being drafted. Like those are career altering things. I mean, that's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for these guys. So I don't fault them for that. It seems like their teammates, more importantly, don't fault them. And while I'm sure Brett Bielema would love to have these guys, he honored Sidney Brown. He honored Devin Witherspoon. I think, you know, he's honored Chase, and I think I'll talk more about Chase opting out. Chase, you know, opted out of being able to set the single season record for Illinois, but he wants to make sure. And let's be honest, Sidney and Chase and Devin Witherspoon don't come from a lot. So it's easy for a fan to say, you owe it to your teammates, you owe it to your school, you owe it to the fans. What do they owe their families? That's how I look at it. And Chase and Sidney Brown's mother especially, and Devin's family, I'm sure, has sacrificed a lot too. But I think we all know Chase and Sidney's story, where their single mother, you know, was homeless for a little bit just so she could send these kids to Florida. She paid for that instead of paying for her own housing, right? So it's hard for me to say, oh, you shouldn't be selfish in this situation for you and your family. So that's just how I feel about it. I think most people feel that way. And the way I look at this is, boy, great careers from all these guys. All under the radar for the most part. Chase Brown was a known recruit. Devin Witherspoon didn't have a rating because he didn't really have many options. He was going to a JUCO before Illinois decided to bring him in, and Lovie Smith. Nobody knew who Sidney Brown was until signing day because he didn't have a profile. He wasn't on Twitter. He didn't do any of those things. And Illinois just announced that he was joining Illinois, and you turn on the film and you're like, whoa, this guy can play. Why'd this guy go under the radar? And then Chase transfers here after a really good year at Western Michigan as a freshman, as a third running back there. And I watched the film. I think anybody who was at Atlanta Inquired and saw my film breakdown of him when they brought him in, I was like, this guy can be a Big Ten starter. I think he's really good. I don't know why I didn't play more as a true freshman against Western Michigan, because I saw him playing well against Syracuse, playing well against Michigan, and Devin Bush was a linebacker there. And I was like, this guy's got it. Didn't know he'd be number two all time at Illinois in rushing, though. And I just think about what, you know, Devin Witherspoon is a consensus All-American, the 20th in Illinois history. He'll have a plaque in Grange Grove. He'll have his jersey hanging up inside the Smith Center. And then you think about these twins from Canada and what they overcame and what ultimately they mean. I don't even know if I fully know. I mean, two twins that became two great players, especially under Brett Bielema. It really propelled this program forward. And Chase is number two all-time in rushing. Sidney was the heart and soul of a defense that took huge steps forward the last 2 years, and really towards the end of the season was playing as well as anybody on this team. And they go down as two of the greats of this era, but I do think they should go down as two of the foundation pieces of a turnaround. Like the way we talk about Trent Frazier is the way I think we should be talking about Devin Witherspoon, Chase Brown, and Sidney Brown. Now, how much those guys played well, how much they meant internally, and just how fun they were to watch. So I think, I don't even know if we know the scope of how we'll look back on these guys, but if Illinois football has the consistency of success that we're starting to see with basketball outside of what's happened the last couple of games, I think we can look back at these guys and we'll look back at them even more fondly. I think as time goes, you just realize how good some of these players were and how special they were. I think that's how we'll feel about these guys. Opt-out feelings aside, this bowl is basically going to be a look ahead to next year at certain positions, right? Sidney Brown out, probably Matthew Bailey in. Devin Witherspoon out, is it Tyler Strain that comes in opposite Taz Nicholson? Is it Xavier Scott? Is it somebody else? Does Tyson Rooks get a look at corner? You know, if Quan Martin decides to opt out, do we see somebody at nickel? Is it Xavier Scott? Is, you know, Keontae Curry, something like that? So that secondary is going to be a completely different look for the most part, but it's kind of a preview of next year, which isn't a terrible thing. These guys are going to get a lot of reps, and they're going to get some real game reps against a Mississippi passing attack That's pretty good, but Mississippi State's lost some offensive weapons to the transfer portal. And then at running back, are we going to see Josh McCray? He can still redshirt even if he plays in the bowl, right? So if we get to see a fully healthy Josh McCray, that could be fun. Reggie Love, how does he do as a number one back after his best performance ever against Northwestern? Is Aiden Loffrey healthy? Not sure about those things. Haven't been able to talk much with Brett Bielema outside of signing day and focusing on that and Aaron Henry. So once we are able to talk with him a little bit more about the bowl, it'll be interesting to get what that is. But Brett Bielema said this isn't just the end of a season. It's kind of a springboard into the next year. And I think that's what this bowl game at certain positions is starting to look like, running back and secondary mostly, right? But you should get Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph playing in this game. From what I understand, Julian Pearl is playing in this game. Tommy DeVito, from what I understand, is playing in this game. So you still got a pretty good team coming in here, but you will be missing some of your best parts. But most teams nowadays are doing that. Whether you think that's right or wrong, it's kind of a mix of the end of the year plus the springboard into next year. So Joey Wagner and I will be flying down to Tampa late on Tuesday, and we'll be there for the week to have you all covered on everything that's going on with the bowl game. And it should just be a fun experience, especially escaping this cold in central Illinois to get down to Tampa, where it's supposed to be the coldest day that we're going to be down there. I think the 28th is going to be like 61 degrees, and it's going to be 70s and 80s. Yeah, looking forward to getting down to Tampa with a January bowl game for Illinois. It should be a nice celebration of a breakthrough season for Illinois. So if you're down there, come say hi to Joey and I. I would love to chat with you guys and talk about what a season this has been and what an offseason this could be. We'll see what happens on the quarterback transfer portal market. I wrote a film review on, I released it on Christmas here, what Hudson Card would bring to the Illini, the Texas transfer. I like a lot of things he does. Yeah, I don't know if he's an NFL top prospect or anything like that, but he's a really good quarterback. Kind of reminds me of the quarterback Illinois just had. But that wasn't a hint at anything. I just know Illinois is really, really looking at Hudson Card. And I'll have a breakdown of Luke Altmyer, the Ole Miss transfer, as well. So you can look for that coming up at Illini Inquirer the next couple of days. The other thing I got to bring up is Illinois losing another assistant coach to Ryan Walters, the head coach now at Purdue. Corey Patterson, a five-year assistant at Illinois, deciding to leave for the Boilermakers right before the holiday started here. And I can't say I'm too surprised at this because Corey's been here for 5 years. I've covered Corey since he was the assistant coach at Trinity Catholic, and I went down there, met with him, talk about Larry Boyd and Isaiah Williams and Shimon Cooper, Reggie Love, Mookie Cooper, all these guys, James Frenchie. And got to know him pretty well through the years, and he's a really good coach. He was really important for Lovie Smith in recruiting and adding some, you know, that St. Louis flavor. And it wasn't just the Trinity Catholic guys, but Keith Randolph and Moses Akpala and, you know, even guys like Zy Chrysler he got in on. He was starting to recruit in Georgia and Memphis and some of these different areas. Corey really helped through the transition for Brett Bielema. I don't know if Corey isn't here, if Brett Bielema does not keep him. And the reason Brett Bielema kept him was the respect he had for him, not only with his connection to players, but as a coach. And Corey obviously did a pretty good job. He didn't, you know, we talk about running backs coaches and Brett Bielema's system, all that. Like, you got to be able to coach. But the success they had with Chase Brown certainly reflects well on Corey Patterson. The fact that Ryan Walters wanted to bring him in is not just recruiting. Corey can coach. But the other thing Corey can do is really connect with players. And if Corey's not here, I don't know if a lot of these players come back, whether it's Owen Carney or some of these guys that went to Trinity Catholic, obviously. But a lot of these players on the team had a connection to Corey Patterson. And I don't know if a lot of these guys come back for the first couple of years of Brett Bielema if Corey's not there, and just have that sounding board and have somebody on the previous staff that was kept on. And I thought that was important. And I think Brett Bielema thought that was important. So I think Corey was really important, not only to Lovie Smith, but to Brett Bielema these first couple of years. And obviously Ryan Walters really sees some value here, because Ryan Walters, from what I understand, is giving Corey more responsibility and is giving Corey potentially a bigger role, whether that's title, whether it's a different position. And Brett Bielema really couldn't offer much more of that. Like, Brett Bielema could offer stability. Brett Bielema could offer learning under him. But at some point, you want to spread your wings and move up. And on Illinois' offensive staff, you had Barry Lunney, who's your offensive coordinator, right? And he's probably not going to go anywhere for a while. George McDonald, who's the wide receivers coach, associate head coach, and a former Power 5 offensive coordinator. There's not a lot of ways for upward mobility. So while Illinois had stability, Corey really liked Illinois and Champaign, and his family really liked it. At some point, you want to be able to move up in your career, and it seems like he'll be able to do that at Purdue. It's the same reason Kevin Kane is deciding to move on, right? Is he wants to become a Power 5 defense coordinator, and he eventually wants to become a head coach at the FBS level, and Ryan Walters could offer him that, and Brett Bielema decided to give it to Aaron Henry. So I can't fault these guys for moving on. It's just when you're Illinois, it's like they have to be at Purdue because now you're competing against them, and that's the really hard part, and I'm sure – there's some hurt feelings in that somewhat. But the other thing is Illinois is going to be recruiting against Purdue a lot more. They really haven't gotten into too many battles, head-to-head battles here recently. But now you have Ryan Walters and Corey Patterson, Kevin Kane, who all recruit Missouri. Obviously, Kevin Kane's from Kansas City, Corey Patterson from St. Louis, Ryan Walters coached in Missouri for 5 years. They're being Missouri and St. Louis frequently in Kansas City. And then all three of those guys have connections in state now. Of course, Corey Patterson recruited a lot of in-state kids at Illinois, both in the Metro East and kind of Central Illinois. And then Kevin Kane in the Western suburbs, and Ryan Walters has recruited the state a lot too. So I think you're going to be recruiting in a lot of the same territories here. And Illinois has been trying to inch into Indianapolis. It could be a recruiting rivalry coming up. So I can't blame Corey Patterson for moving on. But it's going to be interesting how this Purdue and Illinois thing goes along. I do think it's interesting Ryan Walters is also bringing on two GAs from Illinois, or one analyst, Grant O'Brien, who's been with Ryan Walters for 5 years. Makes sense. He's coaching safeties. He takes the leap, but it's a big leap to a Power 5 assistant coach. And then you have Joe Dineen, young, 26-year-old GA, is now going to be the outside linebackers coach under Kevin Kane. Former star linebacker at Kansas, Joe is, and has learned under Kevin the last couple of years. So obviously there's a lot of trust, but it's going to be a younger staff over there at Purdue. But the dynamic between Illinois and Purdue the next couple of years is going to be very, very interesting. We'll see what Brett Bielema does to fill those roles. Sounds like his DBs coach could happen pretty quickly. Outside linebackers coach, he said he wanted to be pretty patient on, maybe look towards the NFL. Now the running backs, I'm interested to see if Barry Lunney gets more of a say in this one, since he did inherit an entire offensive staff from Tony Peterson and Brett Bielema. Be interesting if he leaves his mark or where Brett Bielema wants to go. Does he want an in-state recruiter? Does he want somebody in St. Louis? Because St. Louis hasn't been a huge focus as much for Brett Bielema as it was for Lovie Smith, but they certainly want to recruit East St. Louis and the Metro East and all those places. So it'd be very interesting to see where Brett Bielema decides to go with this, where he kind of allocates recruiting. Does he want another Chicagoland guy? Because Kevin Kane was very strong in the western suburbs as well. So that'll play out over the next couple weeks, and it'll be very interesting to watch. But let's get to it. Illinois Executive Director of Personnel and Recruiting, Pat Embleton. He is the guy that runs the recruiting department, the personnel department, whatever you want to call it, this expanding department. And he talks about that, about what his group now does, what the expansion of his office has meant for Illinois football, and what this recruiting class meant for Illinois. That's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it's our yearly chat with Pat Embleton, Executive Director of Personnel and Recruiting at the University of Illinois. Pat, you've been through a lot of these. This class of 2023 obviously was a more normal recruiting class, but year two with this staff, with Coach Bielema, what was different about the approach, about the results, about the sell for you guys in recruiting?
Yeah, going through the 21 season, being 5-7, you know, I know Coach B always talks about it. People in the community thought that we had gone to the college football playoffs. We really only got blown out by one game during that 21 season. So we were close on a lot of the losses, and I think everybody saw it. And so it was easy for us to sell the product that we were having, establishing on the field, and then having continuity going into year two. You just knew that you were going to get better. You make your biggest jumps from year one to year two, and you saw that this year, being 8-4, going to hopefully win a ninth game in a week or so is big for us. But what we were selling to the recruits and their families and their high school coaches during that whole time leading up to this season, they saw it come real. And so that just gave them more belief in us, and it helped them recruit other good players, right? I say it all the time, like, we have unbelievable coaches that recruit their butts off. But the guys that just signed, the 21 that signed, are our best recruiters, and they put together a hell of a class.
How much work in year one paid off for this class? Because you were recruiting some of those guys for 2 years, but also just building some of the relationships of having that staff.
Yeah, I mean, the relationships are big, especially in this state, right? I think high school coaches are extremely comfortable with this staff, especially with Coach B and how easy he is to talk to. But it's that trust then gives, you know, they talk about players in their conference. They talk about opponents they've played, not just their team. And that's that happens throughout the country with us in Jersey and in Florida. And so that's been big, just to help find good players. But, you know, year two is always better because you have an expectation. You know what you're going through. You know what the season involves. You know when you can recruit, what hours you can recruit, when you can watch film with everybody. And so it's just you're just a little bit faster, right? And so you can get results a little bit faster. And for recruiting staffs like that, that's helpful, right? You know when we can get offers out, and you know when we can get guys on FaceTime and all that stuff. So it's just been more efficient.
Yeah. You've added – your staff's gotten bigger, Pat. I know that's got to be helpful. Just how would you describe to people your staff, what they're able to do, and what adding a few people has done for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I could go on for a week just talking about my staff. I love them to death. They're unbelievable. Starting at the top with Nate McNeil, who's Director of Player Personnel. Nate's like a brother to me. The way that we work together is unreal. Just, you know, we don't we don't always say stuff to each other. We just know what we're going to do. And so we work really well within each other. And then, you know, from there you go to Pat Pearson, who's our director of creative branding, and just what he's brought to this team, to our current team, and to recruiting is you can't describe it. Like, how he markets his team and how we, you know, display the branding of his team and the recruits as well. Like, it's mind blowing to me. And then down from there, Maya Green, who's our director of recruiting operations, and she joined us a week before we started June recruiting. And like, I remember when we hired her, I looked at her, I was like, hey, take this month with a grain of salt that's coming up, because you're going to be like, what the hell did I just get into? And so she did it, and she was a rock star that first month. And so you saw the potential that she had in June, but she was just a little unsure of like how to go about doing stuff. And then by weekend number two in June, she's like, I got this. I'm going to go kill it. And she's been one of the best additions to the staff. You know, and that's really kind of the recruiting operations type team, right? And then you get into the personnel side of things, and you got Jay Kaiser, who's our director of college scouting, who really is a pro guy, a pro mindset, and does a lot of the evaluation piece for both transfer portal, junior college, and he does a little bit of help in the high school world as well. But you know, his baby is the JUCO to transfer world. And then underneath that, you've got Drake Leeper and Chip Vaughn, who their primary responsibilities are film breakdown, right? But they also are really good people, and they have really good communication skills. And so they have continued to build relationships with kids that come on campus. And then when they leave, you know, you open up the group chat, and Chip and Drake have said, oh, I talked to so-and-so tonight. You're like, awesome. Like, we got a good group, right? And then you got Pat Ryan, who's kind of in a league of his own, that does both a little bit of evaluation, a little bit of the ops world, but like, he's the ultimate people person, right? I mean, he could talk to the wall, and the wall would want to respond because he's so fun to talk to, right? So, but what he's done with the communication of high school coaches, not just in this state, but around the country, like, he's such a well-respected person in the game of football, high school Hall of Famer, and he's made all of us better.
Pat, I don't know if a lot of people might want to know this. I know every evaluation is different, every recruitment is different, but how does a typical eval come through your office, and then what happens from there? Like, can you take me through like what a normal one would be?
Yeah. Well, I'll take a kid like Caden Fagan, right? You know, in March of 21, we had all 10 of our assistant coaches had an area of Illinois, and they had to call every single high school coach, and so had a phone call with Coach Jefferson, who was that high school, Caden's high school coach, said, you know, Coach, we don't really have a lot of guys, but we got a guy that's got some potential. He's got size and speed. And so I remember it was actually Tony Peterson at the time gave me that name. He said, hey, put this on your board. So, you know, we put him on the board, and we had to wait for that COVID spring season to play. And so I remember going through, and we watched him. And so we have a database where it has a pipeline built in. So every player that we evaluate, it starts in the recruiting office. Majority of them do. So I remember watching them and typing up our evaluation, whether that's as a collective group. Typically it's done individually. And so if you give them a certain grade, well, then it passes to the area coach, right? And so then that area coach has to watch them, and if he gives them a certain grade that's higher than the recruiting office grade, then it passes to the position coach. Position coach, again, it's got to be higher than what the recruiting area coach gives them. Passes to the coordinator, then the coordinator to the head coach, and then the head coach, the last step is through myself. It's really the same thing, coach being myself. So, you know, I remember watching Caden and just being like, this dude has unreal size for being a sophomore that year, and his athleticism is off the chart, but he's got speed, as you know, he had some documented speed in track. And so it's a guy that went through the pipeline in about a week. Everyone gave pretty high grades. And I remember going into Coach B's office 4 days after we started the pipeline being like, Coach, you got to watch this dude. Like, we got to watch him tonight. And so I remember he watched it, and then he said, hey, put it back in my box. I'm going to take a peek at him, you know, later tonight when everything clears up. And then he texted me the next morning. He's like, get his number, get his bio. Let's get him on the phone today. And so that's typically how it goes. Maybe a little bit longer. Maybe it takes 2 to 3 weeks at times, but depending on the time of year, that's really how it goes.
So that's the evaluation, and then the recruitment begins. So what how does your office take it from there? Because obviously the coaches have to do most of the recruiting, but you guys can get involved too.
Yeah. From there, like, you know, if a kid reaches a certain grade, then he's automatically put on a mailing list, right? And so the mailers go out once, twice a week to this large group. But then if he gets to a certain grade as well, then he gets what's on, you know, your text list and your phone call list. And those are two big things. Like, if you make it on the text list and the phone call list, then that's somebody that you're actively recruiting, right? And so we want all of our coaches to talk to all of our recruits. We don't want just offense to talk to offense. Defense, like, I want Andy Boo talking to Caden Fagan, you know, because he's going to go up against him in practice next year. And so we want to make sure that everybody has relationships so that when he comes into campus and into our building, like, he knows and he's got all the personalities lined up, and it just makes him more comfortable, makes his family more comfortable. I mean, I think Jen is his mom, could tell you that just everybody in the building's easy to talk to. Yeah. So that's the main piece. And then from there, you know, you get them on official visits, and if you can get a kid to campus 7-8 times, you feel pretty good about landing a kid.
So what was important about this class for you guys? I know there's so many positions in need, so many things that you got to address, what you're looking for, but what was important for you guys?
You know, I think the main thing was continue to build our culture, right? We have a really good culture. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we wanted guys that fit what we want to continue to do, right? And what this current team, what their legacy has been this past season. Like, we wanted guys with similar competitiveness and a similar mindset to come in and not replace them, right, but continue that tradition of being tough, smart, dependable team. And so that was really the kind of the core, the foundation of how we recruited and what we recruited. Didn't go after stars very, you know, we didn't look at stars like that, but we ended up getting on some pretty good football players that had higher stars just because that's, you know, it's the nature of the game. But that's the main thing is getting competitive guys that love the game of football, right? Like, there are football players out there that love being a part of a football team and love the social media and the likes of being a football player, but I think every person that signed today loves the game of football, and they eat, sleep, dream about football, and that's what we want.
How do you find that? How do you know that?
it's hard. It's hard to answer. I mean, yeah. I think it's really just by talking to a kid, right, and kind of getting to know what his why is, what is it, what makes him tick, all of that. And so I think, like, that's a several month process to find out. Does he really love football? And you challenge him. You challenge him on the questions you ask him, or on what his high school counselors, high school coaches say about him. Like, you can get a really good thought, but then you can also see him play football and be in games. And, like, when he gets beat or he makes a bad play, like, how does he respond? Does he shut down for the rest of the game, or is he gonna get back up, want to kick somebody's ass, and do it again? Right? Like, I think you can see a lot on that.
What's it like to recruit with an 8-win season, bowl game, 5+ wins in the Big Ten? We haven't had that since you've been here. So, like, what's that like?
It's, it's sigh of relief, right? Like, you're recruiting on with a coach that just signed a new extension as well. Like, you have a lot of things going in your direction, but that doesn't allow us to take our foot off the gas, right? Like, I think now more than ever, we have to capitalize going into the spring of what this momentum is and what it can be going forward. But it's awesome to recruit on a winning record. I mean, I've never done it before, you know? So you're not going through the season thinking about, man, are we going to lose this player because we're not winning or anything like that. Like, that's not the mentality that we have anymore. It's like, how can we go get that better player out there? And so I think that's the main thing.
That 2 years, you work hand-in-hand, Pat. On the road, you're right there with Coach Bielema a lot. What can you tell us about Brett and his recruiting approach and just how he attacks recruiting?
Yeah, he's relentless. He's the most competitive dude I've been around, you know. And he allows everyone to be different in this office, but yet he knows everything too. And so I think how all of our personalities correspond with each other is awesome. And that's a credit to him of putting the staff together. But he's competitive as anything on the road and in recruiting, and doesn't like no at all, you know? So, he is involved with every single recruit that we have. Like, every kid that is signed, Coach B is the lead recruiter on him, right? And the best part about it, and he does so well, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, and you guys probably feel this too, is like he emotionally connects with everybody. It doesn't matter what walk of life, rich, poor, white, black, like it does not matter at all. Like, he can emotionally connect with every single person he meets. And that's what I got to witness firsthand going into homes the last couple of weeks. Like, it was cool. Like, I sat back and then I would just listen and be like, am I getting recruited right now? Because, yeah, I want to go play for you too, you know? And so it was really neat to see. And just his pitch of how it's different but the same when he's in front of a high school coach versus a parent versus a grandparent, like, he's very relatable to everybody.
Pat, I'm tired covering you guys recruiting, but it never stops, right? You got the transfer portal going on. You guys are prepping for a bowl game. You're leaving soon. Like, what is this time like for you guys? There's a relief here, but we know you're going after other transfers right now. This never stops.
Doesn't stop. And as much as you want to go and not go to work tomorrow and sleep in till noon, it's just, you can't. It's life, right? Like, but I think we have a good plan, and you know, I'm sure if I check my phone, I've probably got text messages from my staff being like, so and so went in the portal. Here's our breakdown of them. We got to get Coach A, B, C to watch them, and we got to do it quickly so we can start our communication piece. So trust everybody I work with and that they do their part, that we just continue to build this thing.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Pat, but like, recruiting has changed so much. The NCAA has changed rules. Is there a next step that needs to happen, or any kind of change that needs to happen with recruiting? So I know they're giving you another official visit weekend coming up here, which helps with after bowl games, transfer portal, all that. Like, is there a next thing that you and Coach Bielema think should happen next?
That's a great question, Jeremy. I think, like, February is a dead month, right? And so that's a time where we will reflect as recruiting staff and cover the years, the goods, the bads, the uglies. You know, after the season ended, we did a SWOT analysis of, like, our game day recruiting and how that went. And so we'll do the same thing come February, just over the year and what we did, good, bad, for official visits to just unofficials. And I think from there we can help draw some questions or things that we need answered from the NCAA of moving forward as to, like, why they changed certain things, you know what I'm saying? So, but there's always going to be critiques to specifically say, like, I think the transfer portal is something that is both good and bad for the game. I mean, I think it's good for the student athletes that they get a chance to get a fresh start if they want it. But I do think that there's going to have to be some sort of I don't know, restriction or change to it. We only got 2 weeks to recruit somebody, you know. And now I know they added 4 days in January, but you're also looking at the health and wellness of coaching staffs that need some time, that made a bowl game or something, right? Like, so we'll see how it goes.
Bielema's talking about this, about NIL. All of a sudden now it's a conversation. Like, yeah. first time recruiting through, maybe wasn't asked very much. How have you seen NIL shape recruiting?
Well, it shaped it big time. I think the one of the good things that the NCAA is that they did recently was they took the coaching's, you know, they took us out of it, right? Yeah. Like, we can no longer talk about it or within our team or anything like that. Like, so all we can do is just give examples of what our current roster's done. Yeah. And that's – so it's easy for us to do now. But I think it's played a huge factor in games. But, you know, the Blue Bloods are still going to be the Blue Bloods because they probably have good NIL collectives and all that stuff and support and donor support through that. But so it's changed for sure. But to the sense, like, we still have to stay true to who we are. And still we still have to recruit players that fit what we want, right? And so does that mean a player that wants X amount of money is – who's a really good player fits us? No, I don't think it does some all the time. But we gotta. But you do have to keep that in mind when you recruit somebody.
Well, Pat, you've been with this program for almost a decade now. Just you got such good perspective. How do you feel about where this program's at? Just with everything that's happened in the last year, and you know, one of the most successful years Illinois had in a long time.
Yeah, you feel good. You feel really good. I told this to my wife the other day, like. It's cool to see these kids have success, and that's their expectation now, right? Like, when we lost the Indiana game, like, you saw that how pissed off they were, and that they were sick of that culture and losing. And so it was really neat to see, like, that change, and that's our expectation now is to be successful. And so I like it. I mean, it's like – it's a lot of fun to be around. It's a fun environment to be around, but it's all what these kids have done and what these coaches have done, and it's something that going forward you're like, okay, cool. It's fun to be a part of this, but you can't stop. You can't look back and say we did it, because no, we're in the process of doing it.
Pat Embleton, you're the goods, man. Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
All right, great stuff from Pat Embleton. Hope you guys learned something there. I know I do. Every time I talk to him about the recruiting process, it's just a fascinating process, right? And to see how this staff evaluates, learn how they go about the process, and just how they feel about things is always fun. So appreciate Pat's time. It was on a busy signing day. You can tell he's hoarse there. He's been talking a lot. He did a lot of interviews that day. So really appreciated his time late on signing day before those guys, I think, enjoyed a few beers, which they probably really deserved after a long recruiting process. But it continues with the transfer portal, and of course we'll see if they go after some more high school prospects into the February signing period. All right, hope you enjoyed that. Joey Wagner and I will be heading down to Tampa on Tuesday afternoon. I'll get a podcast with Latuip before that, get his thoughts. He's told me he's got a lot of thoughts about Illinois basketball. So we'll get him on Monday, and then Joey and I will update you throughout the week for Illinois football and everything going on with the bowl game. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get podcasts. Check us out on YouTube. Hit the like button. Hit subscribe. And if you're not a VIP member, 50% off VIP access right now at Illini Inquirer. You can get those film review of Hudson Card. I'll have one on Luke Altmyer. What those guys as transfer quarterbacks could bring to Illinois if they decide to join the Fighting Illini. All right, everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.